Session number 25935.
Mr. Hall, Reel 4. Now, we were talking about your time aboard the Royal Oak, which you were on from May until it was sunk. You mentioned you'd go to instructions in the morning or PT.
Yeah.
Tell me about instruction first. What were you being instructed
in? Well, instructors were still going to be gunnery and seamanship, because we were on a ship, so we could do it hands-on. We could go to the guns, we could go to the boats, we could do sailing, whilst we were in harbour, of course, or pulling boats, get shown around the ship to know where different things were, and who was who, where we weren't allowed to go and where we were, like the officers' quarters, unless we were actually told to go there, or had cleaning stations there. Generally, the ship's routine, we were taught at that time. In the afternoon, we would have, we had to go to school. So we had a schoolmaster, there was a schoolmaster aboard, a lieutenant. He used to take us for school. We used to do all this normal school things, going up to O-levels.
Now, how did you do? Because you hadn't shone by your own account
Actually, I did very well. My papers, I wish I had them with me now, but as I said, they're in storage in Manchester. Educationally, I didn't do bright, but I did very well. I must have blossomed out a little bit from being 15 to 18.
You just put your mind to it.
I must have put my mind to it, I think. Maybe because I was in a different environment.
So you were enjoying it?
I was enjoying that, doing the...
And it was obvious to a reasonable standard.
Yeah.
Higher than you'd been used to.
Higher than I'd been used to, yeah.
Now, PT you mentioned. Now, I forgot to prompt you to PT at
Well, PT
Vince.
Was every day. PT was every morning.
Now, what would you do?
We'd change into PT kit, which was gym shoes, probably no socks, shorts, and a singlet. And we'd do our PT. The PT was done in, there would be vaulting, cock tiddles, you know, the head over heels things, running, and then all the usual physical jerk things as a class, all have to be done together, you know, the ups and downs, all the physical.
On the deck or?
If it was wet, we'd do it in the drill shed. On board, we'd do it on the quarter deck, where it was much open space, and you wouldn't do much of it down below decks because there was no room anyway.
Had you done much PT at?
I was fairly fit. I mean, when I left school, I did a lot of sport at school. I did a lot of football and a lot of all the other sports, running and whatever. So I was fairly fit. I could keep going. And as I said, I'd done a lot of boat pulling and a lot of that sort of work.
So you've got your continuation training, you know, seamanship, gunnery.
Yeah,
you've got your education, you've got your PT.
Yeah.
What else might you be doing during a typical day as a boy, you know, before the war broke out, I think, really, you know?
Well, that was mainly it. That used to take most of our day.
And you weren't in watches,
We were in watches. We still had to work in watches.
But what I mean
except for classes. When we were at school, we were all together. All the boys were together, unless they were actually on a watch somewhere.
Now, would the watch progress through the night, you know, like it does for
men? Oh, yes.
Can you explain how the watches work, then? Because a lot of people don't understand the watch system.
Right, watches. They're in the Navy, there is what they call a 24... You work for 24 hours. You have... we're working from midnight. From midnight to 4 o'clock would be the first watch. Hang on a minute. Which is the middle? Now, that would be the middle watch, from 12 o'clock till 4 in the morning. From 4 o'clock till 8 would be the morning watch. From 8 o'clock to 12 would be the forenoon watch. From 12 o'clock to 1600 or 4 o'clock would be the afternoon watch. And then there would be what they call the dog watches. Now, the dog watches were another 4 hours, but were split into two. They were the first dog from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, and the last dog from 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock. and then you would get from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, would call the first. That would be your whole routine, the watches. And each watch would be done by a different part of watch, like the first to starboard, second to starboard, first to port, second to port. That would, so that if they were in four watches, you would be on watch every fourth period, whatever it was. Now, the idea of the dog watches was so that you didn't have the same watch the next day.
It moved you on one.
It moved you up one. So that you didn't have the same watch each day. That was the sole idea of the dog watches, to split that time into, so you didn't have the same watch all the time.
And that routine worked.
That routine, if I was on a ship for 2.5 years, and I wanted to know what watch I was on when I was in somewhere 6 months ahead, I could look at the watch bill and know that I was on duty, the first to starboard was on duty at that particular day. So that if I suddenly wanted to go ashore that day, or we were somewhere, I could go and arrange for somebody else to do my duty for me. But I would know exactly what I was doing any time in the future.
And it ran in harbour, at sea, or whatever?
It ran in harbour, at sea, except they changed. The wartime changed it, of course. But in peacetime, it was normally in four watches.
Now, in peacetime, did you have things like
ashore, if we were alongside, then the watches would change to starboard watch and port watch, so that there would be a full watch on board for 24 hours. But that watch would be split into first and second then. Or they could split it another way into three watches, which they called the colour watch, which was red, white and blue. So that they'd have more. It all depends what they wanted to do, whether they wanted more men for a certain job or less, because the watch would be split into three instead of four.
Now, so what
else?
Which
is highly complicated, but it works.
Now, what other duties? You said when you joined ship, even though it's peacetime, you were given things with things like cruising stations, action stations,
all these other
fire stations.
Yes.
Now, what do all these things mean? If you do, I don't know which order you want to take them in. This is in peacetime. I think it probably changed in wartime.
Well, not a lot. It didn't change a lot in wartime.
So what was your...
To go to my duties.
Yes.
My duty, first and foremost, when I went aboard there, I was a commander's runner. I was a commander's messenger. So I was under the commander to run his messages wherever I wanted to go and
board
the ship.
What was that called? Was that your cruising station?
No, that was my working bit during the day when I wasn't on any other duties. That was my duty when there was nothing else being done.
And what did it involve in the command? Do you remember his name, or was it?
I can't remember his name. This one, I can't remember very few of the names. I'll have to try and think of some of the names.
So tell me what he'd send you doing.
Well, I'd go ahead of him when he was doing his rounds, so they'd know he was coming behind. If he wanted if he wanted somebody to come to his cabin, I'd go and find him. Do all sorts of things that a messenger would do, I suppose. Run around for him, more or less.
And how did he treat you?
I got treated very well, but they treated all their messengers fairly well. They weren't, we were just messengers to them, really.
And how did you find your way around the ship in the early days? Did you get lost?
I got lost a couple of times, yes. I used to get lost quite often. But we learnt after a time to know which way was going and which way we were going. Whether we were going forward or aft, or on one side of the ship or the other side, invariably, if I lost my way below, I'd come up on the upper deck and walk forward and go down the other way without getting lost in the passageways. Sort of might find my way on the upper deck and walk along that way.
So that was your bog standard.
And then I had duties, and most of the boys' duties were lookouts. When we were at sea, we were detailed on as lookouts. So we'd keep watches as lookouts. We used to do about 2 hours at a time.
Would you still be commander's messenger at sea sometimes, or was it
only when I wasn't on duty?
Right, I got you. So, what were the duties of lookout? How did you do it? Because I know it sounds simple, but where did you do it from, and what did you do?
Well, most of the lookout stations were on either side of the bridge, where you could get. Well, it was about your highest point to have a lookout, and you'd probably have three on either side. You'd have a lookout that would be responsible for from the bow to the to about 45 degrees that way. And then you'd have another lookout that would be from the 45 to the 95 or whatever that way. And then you'd have another one that look out towards the stern. That would be either side. Now, what they did, what you had was a swivel seat with a pair of binoculars with a handle on, a thing that would move it up and down if you wanted to go up and down.
Was it fixed?
It was on a fixed. And underneath it was a circular compass with your points from forward to aft on. So that when you swung round, I'm looking from forward to aft, I would be on my seat like this, I would swing my seat round with this on there and hold my thing round, and then if I spotted something, I'd look down, there would be a pointer there to tell me exactly where I was looking. Like it would be from 0 to 45. And if it was starboard, it would be, say it was 10 degrees to starboard, it would be starboard 10 or 010, bearing that object. If I didn't know what it was, I would say an object.
Now, what sort of object are we talking? Because on some ships, it was everything.
Everything you see, everything you spot, you should report. Because if the captain saw it or the officer of the watch saw it and he said, why haven't I been reported about that? Then that's what you were there for. It didn't matter whether everybody else knew it was there. You would still say it was there. And if you didn't know what it was just an object.
So even a bottle?
Well, if it was that close, it would be too late. But anything that was visible that you could see, you always reported it.
And what would happen when it was reported?
Well, somebody would look at
it. Who would you report it to?
Just shout it out.
On
the bridge, yeah. And then you'd just say, object bearing so-and-so, sir. And you'd see all these glasses go around to have a look, you know, all the officers on the bridge of, what is it? Then they'd just say, very good, and leave it at that. And then you just carry on with looking for someone else. And if it was aircraft you were looking for, then you had this thing that you'd go up.
Well, I was going to,
and underneath there would be another marker with a pointer on.
So the glasses did that as well?
Yeah.
And you would be responsible for doing that?
Yeah.
Now, how did you sweep round? I mean, did you have a way of sweeping? Do you know what I mean? So you go all...
Well, yeah, you go through your arc and then backwards
and
up and down, up and down as far as you can go.
And would you do it always the same or would you sort of jerk about,
No, it all depends what you were looking at, what you're looking for, really. If they were saying, you're looking specifically for aircraft, then you'd always have it up in the air, normally.
But
you're on this swiveled seat, so you could do whatever you wanted with it, you know.
It sounds reasonably comfortable compared to some of the...
The only uncomfortable thing was, I suppose, was... probably boredom and cold, if it was cold. I mean, you'd be up there, there's no shelter.
You were on the open bridge.
Oh, you're on the open. Don't forget that time of the war, or before the war, all bridges were open. They weren't like they are now, closed in.
And what would you be wearing on lookout?
In the cold, usually a uniform, probably I'd have, because I was still a boy, I'd wear a uniform, my cap, perhaps a duffel coat, or an oilskin.
Just lastly, when you said any object, if you spotted, a lighthouse or an island, I mean, that almost everyone on the ship's going to see.
You would still report it. Yeah, because that's your job. Yeah, otherwise you're not doing your job. You'd say, well, why didn't you report it? Well, I thought you knew it was there, so it's no excuse, really, is it?
So it would be, even if it was a static thing, it must still be there.
Yeah, you'd still report it. Perhaps they hadn't seen it.
Anything else about your duties on the bridge?
No, that was the only duties I used to have on the bridge at that time as a boy.
Now, what other
was
duties?
A lookout.
You mentioned fire duty.
The fire duty was, they used to have, you're always going to get a fire on board somewhere, aren't you? But every evening, they used to have exercises, like fire exercises. If you were a duty watch, you were fire crew, you were a fire watch, or you were a store ship watch. Whatever work came up, whatever came up in that duty period was that duty's responsibility. No matter what it was, if you were first to starboard and you were duty, it was first to starboard's responsibility to run the ship, if you will. They were duty watch, and everything was happened on that ship was their duty. Whether it was fire drill, putting out a fire properly. They would start it until the actual fire crews got. Of course, there'd be specialists for that, usually stokers and engineers, but there'd always be. But so you were the first
the
one to on the scene.
I mean, if there was either an alarm or. What was the alarm for? How would you know?
Oh, there'd be a klaxon, the old thing, you know. And then there'd be pipes, of course, fire, wherever. Exercise, well, always had to be. If it was an exercise, it was exercise, fire. Starboard watch, fire crew report to wherever.
And what would you do?
Well, get all the equipment ready. Your hoses run out. Your masks on and whatever smoke, and you just do normal fire drill.
And were there many fires?
No, I can't remember any proper ones.
So it was mainly drills.
It was mainly drills all the time. It was just drills all the time, really.
And any other sort of things you recall, duties?
Boats crews.
What was boats?
Boys used to have to be boats crews, like bowmen, stern sheetmen. That was being the crew on the Liberty boats, or on the captain's barge. There would be a coxswain, usually a midshipman on that one, and either a leading seaman or a petty officer, and three just seamen that were two. They used to have to do the boat hook drill,
which was.
I'll show you. I'll demonstrate. I suppose we
should have to describe it. What you're doing.
It's standing up. If you're in the bows on the. Oh, I've dropped them.
It's all right. It's all right.
You'd have your boat hook. You know what the boat hook is,
yeah.
Right? Well, then if there was three of you on this barge, it'd be me, somebody behind me, and one on the stern. They would each be like this. Then I used to do tap tap, and up, down, and hook on. As you came to it, and they'd all be doing the same behind me, exactly the same. So it was a drill, so that people on the shore that would be watching it were saying, what a smart boat. A boat was always, a boat going into a harbour, a ship was always known by its boats, how clean and smart they were. But that was another duty. Then there'll be other duties like storing ship and getting provisions up and. There was always everything that was run. It would be like running a hotel, I suppose.
Now, where you joined her in Portsmouth, you know,
yes.
Big fuss. Now, where did you go?
I remember sailing out. We remember coming out of out of Portsmouth Harbour, and there were literally thousands. It was in the summer. I mean, it was about June, I think. We were heading now for. The Mediterranean for 2.5 years.
Now this
is
where
we were going.
What sort of send-off did all these ships give you? Tell me about it.
There were thousands. They're literally all along the front, from right along South Sea. There must have been thousands of people watching. I mean, it's a big ship. We had flags flying and everything else. I mean, peacetime. All of us lined up. The whole ship was covered with sailors, lining the guardrails. The amount of boats that came out alongside us, out with us, right out to the nab, practically going out of down Spithead, must have followed us for miles, hundreds of little boats.
And how did
boats.
It feel to be going off like that?
God, as a boy, I can't describe it. It'd bring tears to my eyes if I describe it. I mean, it was great.
You were proud.
Proud, I should say so. And not only that, looking forward to the Mediterranean. You know, it's.
Was there a great pride in the ship?
Yes. I mean, it's a big capital ship, isn't she? You know, I mean, what more could you ask for? Your start of your career in the Navy.
Now, what about that? You were off.
So we went down and got as far as Portland, and it was the time of the. There was a fleet review. So we're in the fleet review at Portland.
Now, tell me about that.
The King came on.
What do you remember of that fleet review?
Not a lot. I remember a whole lot of ships lined up down there, and the Royal Yacht coming through with, who was the King then? King George?
The sixth.
He came and we saw them go through. Every ship was sort of garlanded with flowers, with flags. It was a great moment, really. I suppose we're all on the side cheering and waving our hats around and one thing or another. The war hadn't started then, had it? There was nothing about the war then. This was in about August. latter end of July.
I'm not sure. I think it was July, but I don't know.
The latter end of July. And that just after that, they mobilised the fleet. They called up all the reservists, and we started to get reservists on board. And then the fleet dispersed.
Now, what difference... Tell me about when the reservists came aboard, because you already must have had a full crew.
I didn't have a lot... Yeah, well, that brought the ship up to a lot more than it... this was going to be a wartime crew now. So it brought them up to quite a few more. Probably a third of what were already aboard.
And how did they fit in these
old... Well, I don't know, because, as I said, I was in the boys' mess, but these were older. I wouldn't see much of them. Only in my normal course of work, probably. Going around the ship, I wouldn't know one from the other anyway, because there was nothing to distinguish them really. They were all in the same uniform.
Now, how did you go? You were 16 probably then.
Yeah.
How did you have any idea yourself then that war was coming? Did you have any
opinions? No, I didn't. It didn't register then. Even when we had these extra crew come aboard, and the next thing, the thing that.
Did you know what was happening?
But
in
I
Germany?
Knew. No, I didn't. I don't think. Not really. I don't think I read any. I don't think we had any papers. I don't think I was interested in papers then. Really, or listening to the news.
So it was just.
I can't remember. It was just a.
You were immersed in your own life.
Immersed in my own little bit. I think going. I was still thinking we were going to the Mediterranean at that stage. But anyway, the fleet went to what I now know is their war stations. They all dispersed and went their different ways, and we ended up in Scapa Flow.
So you were part of the home fleet at Scapa.
We were the home fleet in Scapa, then. So we never went to the Med.
You must have been disappointed.
I was very disappointed, and it was very cold. It was very bleak. I thought, goodness gracious, we come to the end of the world. Because there was nothing. A few ships at that time, not a lot, but they were all building up. We were probably one of the first up there.
And what did you think of Scapa Flow?
Not a lot.
Even in August it was...
It was barren and cold. Sunny, but cold.
So what happened then?
Well, we went... What does this say? We're in August. We were up there, and the fleet started to gather. There were quite a few more battleships came up, the Nelson, the Rodney, the Barham, and then a lot of cruisers and a host of destroyers started to fill up Scapa Flow then, and that took about a month before they came up. And then our job, when we went to sea, which was August, September.
Is this before the outbreak of war?
This was before the outbreak of war. We went to sea on exercises.
Tell me about them.
Well, they just did the normal exercises. Most of the exercises, of course, were officers and how they would handle the ship and what manoeuvres they would make. We never went to sea on our own. If we did go out, we always had at least three destroyers with us. There was always three assigned to each battleship before they went out. So you always had an escort. We'd just go out and do manoeuvres, fleet manoeuvres, how you work together as a squadron, what you would do in certain situations if you met whatever fleet you were going to meet, if you met the German fleet at this time. Things like that. But as I said, mostly it was for the officers, the navigation and who was going to work with what and so that no ship sort of crashed into each other if they were manoeuvring. It was all sort of worked out long before. At certain scenarios would be worked out.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? Did you hear it?
The first thing I realised was when Churchill came aboard and we all cleared lower deck and he gave a speech about there being hostilities and now war is declared we were going to, whatever we were going to do, you know.
Now, he'd be First Lord of the Admiralty.
He was First Lord of the Admiralty.
What were your
then?
Impressions of the speech he gave, or could you hear it? I mean, you know.
Yes, I heard. I can't remember what it was, but it was very, very uplifting, I remember.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I thought, wow, you know, this is it, we're going. And But I wasn't sure what I was going to expect. And I mean, and being on such a big ship, I thought, well, nothing can happen to us. I mean, what can happen to a thing this size?
You genuinely thought that?
Well, yeah, I suppose in the back of my mind I did.
So you weren't nervous?
I weren't nervous. I know I wasn't nervous. I mean, I had nothing to be nervous about, I don't think, really, at that time.
And what did you think of? I mean, you know, the church business. You didn't? Did you know who he was? I mean, he wasn't as famous then.
We were told
then,
no,
you know.
But I can remember seeing him with his cap on and his reefer right up over his collar. You know, I can remember seeing him coming on board with the admirals. I mean, I was a bit far back, but I can remember because they stood him up on a platform anyway, so he could look down. We were all on the quarter deck. The whole thousand of us, I think, strewed around the quarter deck.
Now, so what? How did life change when the war broke out?
It didn't change a lot at that time. We started to prepare for war, I suppose, in more ammunition coming aboard, more clothing coming aboard, as I remember, for winter clothing, because we were now up in the north. So there was more sort of warm clothing came aboard from certain sources. Stuff we hadn't had, like balaclavas and gloves and sea boot stockings and that sort of, and thick underwear and stuff. All that we didn't have at that time, before the war. That sort of came in dribs and drabs as it started. No life belts, no life jackets. The ships didn't have them then.
Had you done any boat drill? That's something we haven't mentioned. Did you have boat drill?
Oh, yes. Drill
every
day, yes.
Tell me what it was, because
yeah.
It will be relevant. Tell me how you practiced it. I mean, it's obvious why it's relevant.
Well, it was, say, drill for away boats' crews.
No, I mean for abandoning ship.
Abandoning ship.
Yeah.
Well, you each had an abandoned ship station. Everybody had an abandoned ship station where they would go if the order abandoned ship was done. You didn't just mill over the side, or at least you shouldn't do. The drill said you shouldn't. You didn't sort of mill to the side and hop overboard. You all had a drill to do.
So you, now, where was yours?
Mine was the cutter, I think, at that time. It was one of the ship's cutters.
Now, did you practice going to abandoned ship?
Yes. We went to practice battle abandoned ship stations quite often. And you'd go and you'd line up. If you were in a boat's crew, you had these. You had to put on a life jacket. We had life jackets in the boats. They were these green, two-sided things, like big cork pads.
Now you get this from the boat.
You get that
the
in the boat.
You,
yeah, that,
so
they,
you
would,
have
they would. They would.
Your own.
No. They were actually in the boat. If there was 12 in a crew, there were 12 in the boat. And that was all.
So you'd go to the boat station and then
you'd go to
the
boat station. You'd line up beside the davit. That had to be lowered. I mean, the boat had to be... You'd get into the boat and then it had to be lowered down to the water. And then you had to knock the Robinson disengaging gear off so that the gear would go away from the ship. And you'd then row out on the side. That was mainly about the... About the exercises, it was. We get the boat away clean.